Today I would like to speak to you about sins of thought. Our blessed Lord in the Gospel reads the evil thoughts of the Pharisees. And we often neglect to think about sins of thought, saying to ourselves, well, I don't do anything that's bad, therefore I'm not a bad person. But you can do plenty in your mind, and you can sin in your mind. As a matter of fact, it's even possible that most sins are committed interiorly rather than exteriorly. And the most common way in which we sin interiorly is by impure thoughts. But we should understand that we can have bad thoughts about anything, not necessarily impurity. You can have a mortal sin of a bad thought by, for example, entertaining in your mind the revenge that you would have upon one of your enemies. And if you turn these thoughts over in your mind and you enjoy these thoughts and relish these thoughts of revenge, that would be in itself a mortal sin if the object of the thought is a mortal sin. But the most common type of evil thought that we have is impure thought. Now, impurity is always grave, always serious matter. And the reason for that is that it touches upon those things which pertain to the generation of children. And what God has established for the generation of children is serious. We're not speaking about the generation of animals, of dogs and cats, but we're talking about the generation of those things, or those beings, which have immortal souls. For this reason, it is grave to in any way misuse what touches upon the generation of children. For it is God primarily who makes the children because they have immortal souls. The parents do not make the immortal soul. It is God who infuses the immortal soul. And so there is never light matter in questions of impurity. For example, in questions of stealing, you can have light matter. If you steal a dime, that's a venial sin, because the matter is light. But you cannot have light matter in questions of impurity. So if, in your mind, you entertain impure thoughts or impure desires, you commit a mortal sin. When I say entertain, that means deliberately take pleasure in these things, to deliberately turn them over in your mind and play them in your mind, as if you were watching a movie. That is always a mortal sin. Now, in the case, you should distinguish impure thought from desire. An impure thought regards merely the image. An impure desire is different. That is where you say to yourself, I want to do this. I wish I could do this. And in the case of impure desires, you must confess exactly what you wanted to do. Now, it is possible to have venial sin with regard to impure thoughts if there is what we call imperfection of the act. That means where you do not completely do what you're doing. And this happens in the following ways. You sin venially if you provoke impure thoughts by doing something that would tend to bring them on. For example, if a man looks curiously at a woman on the street And this curiosity in itself is venial. We sin venially by provoking those thoughts through some venial sin. That's the first way. The second is when, instead of resisting and suppressing the temptation immediately, we dwell slightly on it through curiosity, without taking pleasure in it. When you go into a supermarket and you pick up something from the shelf, you consider it. You think about how much it costs. You think about all of the qualities of the thing. That is curiosity. You are giving it consideration. But when you put it in your basket, you consent. You say, I will buy this. The same is true of impurity. You can take it off the shelf, consider it, without actually consenting to it. And if we give it this consideration, we look at it, we sin venially, provided we put it back on the shelf. So curiosity is a venial sin in itself, to look at something too much, to consider something too much. Because the first thing that you should do when an impure thought invades your mind is reject it. Just as if you were going through the supermarket and you saw poison on the shelf with skulls and crossbones on it, you would say, I want no part of that. That's poison. And you move on. Then you have been tempted, but you have not given it the slightest consideration. And in such a case, not only have you not sinned, but also you've gained merit by resisting a temptation. We sin venially if we take some pleasure in impure thoughts or desires, but lack the proper deliberation concerning the evil. So if you are distracted, for example, if you're driving, if you're doing something else that demands a lot of your attention, and there is some pleasure given to an impure thought, but not complete because you are distracted by something else, or if you're daydreaming, or if for some reason you are not completely paying attention to what you're doing, that is a venial sin. In order for a sin to be mortal, you must have full deliberation. And the example given for full deliberation is that deliberation and intention that you would have if you were signing a contract. When you go to the bank, or when you make out real estate forms or something, and you go to sign something, they put something in front of you. You have full attention, you think about it, you sign it. But you would never, for example, or say, if someone were having a conversation with you and you signed something carelessly, without thinking about it, you see, that's not full deliberation about what you're doing. And it happens quite a bit, especially in internal things, because our mind is able to say on diverse things at one time. We can drive and listen to the radio, for example. We can pay attention to the road and pay attention to the politics of our nation at the same time. So we are also able to balance in our head many different things at the same time, and therefore not give full deliberation. You have full deliberation, for example, when you go to vote. You know what you're doing. Hopefully. But if you don't have full deliberation, if you're distracted, or if you're half asleep in some way, then you cannot commit a mortal sin. No matter what you do, if there is not full deliberation, it is impossible to commit a mortal sin. Another way in which we sin venially is when we detest and resist the temptation, but without the proper strength and determination. We're sluggish, slow in resisting. And so it lingers more than it should. That's a venial sin. And we do not sin at all when we find displeasure in the impure thought. When we are disgusted by the impure thought or desire or any other bad thought for that matter, even temptations against the faith or against hope or against charity. And if we make a strong effort to bounce them out of our mind, that's no sin at all. Even if these temptations should be very strong and persevering, even if the temptations should last for hours and should disturb us very much, as long as you fight them off, you have not sinned. St. Alphonsus says that if you pray during a temptation, you can be sure that you did not consent. So the first thing you should do when you are tempted by anything, whether it's impure thoughts, or whether it's thoughts of revenge or uncharitable thoughts, which is a very common sin, you need to pray. Start saying your Hail Mary. The nuns always used to say in Catholic schools to the children, if you're tempted by impure thoughts, say your three Hail Marys. Very good advice. Just have immediate recourse to the Mother of God, the most chaste Virgin, and you will receive whatever grace is necessary to resist. So I recommend also purity of thought, especially to the young people who are assailed by impurity today from everywhere. They have a very hard time being pure, because the devil is active everywhere through magazines, even in supermarkets, and in conversations with friends and people who are today just ordinarily completely debauched and who delve into impure thoughts and desires and actions every single day of their lives and many times a day. They are bombarded by television and movies and other things. The whole culture has become impure. And the young people have a very hard time remaining pure. And when they pick out someone to go out on a date with in the hopes of marrying them one day, very often these people have terrible morals. And they drag them into sins. And that's true either of the boys or the girls. Sometimes the girls have worse morals than the boys. This terrible world, and I recommend this purity to you, and it must start in your mind. The great commandment is that we must love the Lord our God with our whole mind, our whole body, our whole soul, our whole strength, and our whole mind, which means that the laws of God must penetrate right down into our heads, right into the depth of our souls. It's not sufficient to be pure merely externally, but rather internally as well. For every external act begins with a thought. Whether good or bad, everything we do begins with a thought. And if you keep your mind pure, you will never, ever commit an impure action. So consider these things today. Consider the world that we live in. How much it tempts us to evil, and how much, therefore, and with such vigor, we must use, the vigor that we must use in order to combat these things. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.